Okay, thank you for sitting down with me.
Sure.
For the record, can I get your name?
Yeah, Matthew Green.
Matthew Green, okay. And you are an Evergreen alum?
I am.
In what years did you go to school?
I started there in 1986 and graduated in 92.
92, great. All right.
The six-year plan.
Perfect.
Which is normal.
Why did you choose Evergreen over any other college?
My older sister went to Evergreen. She's 5 years older. So I had the chance to come down and see it, look around a little bit, and liked it. I also, my father is a professor at the University of Washington. So growing up high school, I sat in on some of his classes. Literally hundreds of people. In a big room with him lecturing. And I knew talking to him that once, if I got to grad school, say, at the University of Washington, I would have really nice, close contact with the faculty. But until that, I wouldn't. And at Evergreen, talking to my sister, you would have much closer access to them, much closer contact with your fellow students, more involvement with your fellow students, and more involvement with the professors. So that appealed to me. In high school, I didn't do well with structure very well. If I didn't like the teacher, I didn't like the kind of the ways I was being pushed into things, then I shut it off and I got D's in those classes. And the ones I liked, I got A's. And I figured that at Evergreen, I would be able to be better able to find the things that I liked and wanted to do instead of having to take a bunch of required courses at university elsewhere. So Evergreen appealed to me in that way.
Okay, great. Can you share with us any specific pathway that brought you into Evergreen?
Like pathway, like who led me there?
Yeah, or, well,
partly my sister. I happen to have grown up in Seattle, so I'm an in-state student. At the time, tuition was still pretty low. That was a big help.
Yeah.
It was even lower when my sister was there, early 80s. And it's kind of scary how much it's gone up, unfortunately, but that's true everywhere. So that was an advantage. It's not too far from home, in my case, that fit, but just far enough away from my parents that I couldn't see them every weekend. But also, I was fortunate enough to get to know Evergreen a little bit and get to know another major university that could have been an option for me, and was able to compare early on while I was in high school. And so that was a big advantage for me, knowing that this was a community I wanted to be in.
Great.
All
right. Is there any particular, whether it was just a person at Evergreen or an instructor that was a big influence?
There were several of them. Bernie. I'm trying to remember Bernie's last name. He was one of the environmental scientists in my first year. And I had sort of been interested in environmental issues vaguely. And that first year definitely led me in that direction. He was kind of a crotchety old guy. But incredibly smart, crotchety old guy who generally liked his students, or genuinely liked his students, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And was crotchety in the sense of, I heard him say one time, don't conserve electricity because it'll just go to the Defense Department. Comments like that. You couldn't take it too seriously, but he pushed. He probably was used to teaching first-year classes, so he spent a lot of time challenging people's assumptions about things that they had brought in, that they weren't people who hadn't learned how to, question the things they've learned so far in life and look beyond it. So a lot of people giving their own, including me, giving opinions that they formed just through high school out of whatever, and assuming that is the only fact out there or the only way of looking at it. He was good about that. Russ Fox, who might still be there. He might have retired in the last few years. He was a community kind of human organizing, but more from the scientific side, not from the activism side, and actually helped me get into more of the, for me, the political and land policy debates of things. And he was also, not only was he a good guy and a good teacher, he was also very active in the community. There was a county charter campaign one time, which is long and complicated, but it's basically rewriting essentially the constitution of Thurston County. And he was a part of that. And he actually got elected in his little area to be the person to go work on that. And so he was very engaged in the issues he was working on that he would teach on. And so it was both an example, and he had examples to tell us about of very practical things he's doing out in the community. And later he was worked with me on a couple internships that I did out away from Evergreen, and so he had good contacts in that way. So somebody who's not just good at their topic area, but also uses it out in the real world, was impressive. Thank you. To me.
What was your primary focus? As far as education?
So it started as environmental science. I took the first year was called Exploration, Discovery, and Empire. It was sort of world history and then focusing in on Northwest history as white settlers came and explored it, and then local history, but also transitioning all through that into natural history and environmental issues and understanding sort of where we came from. I have 2 credits of sailing from that class. and then moved into a class that was called Habitats. And this was a very typical Evergreen class. It was the second year. It was everything environmental science, ecology, biology, chemistry. I'm missing some. Even anatomy, ornithology, and a lot of kind of broad systems thinking about all the sciences that go around environmental science. And there's a couple other equivalents of Evergreen, like there's one on computer information, there's one more for laboratory science, if you will. This was the environmental end. A lot of people probably went off and became biologists for the Forest Service or something out of this class. And actually, that was the kind of direction I was heading because of it. And I was very interested in that, and actually I worked for the Department of Fish and Wildlife for a couple of summers doing plant identification, walking out through clear cuts and doing plant identification based on that experience, and it was a lot of fun. Then I started getting more interested in the policy side and how communities make decisions about things like this that affect environmental issues in particular. And so gradually I ended up with the class with Russ Fox taught was called Sustainable Community Systems, which is exactly what it is, thinking about systems as community-wide, how they work economically and socially and financially and how that's affected by the policies that, say, a city council or somebody might write. And so I started moving into there and actually eventually moving into the political side. Again, not the activist so much, but actually working on political campaigns for some of those candidates writing those policies. And my last credits were an internship on a political campaign for somebody who is running for Commissioner of Public Lands, which manages all the state-owned land in Washington. And so it was environmental, but also very practical, getting somebody into office who's going to have different policies than her predecessor. And so that was a good launching point into that, into a career that I kept at for a while until I decided to go back to grad school. Of working in political campaigns.
Okay, great. Do you have any favorite experience at Evergreen that you'd like to share?
Let's see. These aren't necessarily favorites, but just some samples. The one was the sailing. We got to go out for a couple of weeks. We had 2 sailboats. One was owned by the school, one was loaned by a guy who professors knew, and in groups of, I think there were a dozen of us between the 2 boats at a time for like a week or two, and sail around Puget Sound, and do the biology of the areas we're in, and the ecology of the kind of get out there and use it and do something interesting with it is a big advantage. Sort of the social life, I ended up, I lived in the dorms, the old dorms, D and then A, before the newer ones were built. In fact, I remember the newer ones going up just as I was leaving. And I actually was very fortunate. For 2 years, I lived on the top of A dorm. The 5PA in the top of A dorm is the best apartment in the dorms. It's huge. It has, like, in the main room, it has, like, 25-foot ceilings. Cool. And there's, like, a little loft up there that's built in. It wasn't even built by students. It came that way with a big window that looks out at the sun. And it was the hangout spot. On the 10th floor. And you have the views. You actually had as close as anything to a good view around here. And so it was sort of the social center, and I was lucky enough to know somebody who had that. It sort of gets passed down, at least at the time, it gets passed down. Somebody, I think there was a rule that said if somebody was in it, they had the priority for renting it the next year, even if their name wasn't the official person renting it. So the official person renting it would sublet to, or pick their other four tenants, and then one of them would get it the next year. Oh. And so it just passed down through a line of friends, and I happened to be lucky enough to get one. That was fun. So that was the social spot, which was good for me because I was not the most social person, so it kind of came to me. A little unusual for me is I was on the soccer team. And athletics is not that big a deal at Evergreen. Don't go there for the purpose of playing sports. I happened to play soccer anyway, so I went out for the team. And we'd get maybe 10 people watching. That was fine. We actually got to travel around to throughout the Northwest, go to other away games and represent Evergreen. Now they built the gym and they have a basketball team. Some other things there, and it's a lot of fun. And I think the basketball team in particular has developed a little bit more of an actual fan culture than we ever had. But don't expect a lot of that. We had a famous trip to British Columbia where the van burned on the way back. Yeah, just north of Seattle. Oh, geez. Little random things that happen when you're in school.
Yeah.
Let's see. As I mentioned, I went there 6 years. Took some time off in the middle, kind of at one point trying to decide what I wanted to do, and a little unhappy with one class I took, and so I kind of wandered away for a while, and for nearly a year, and then came back. And actually, when I came back, the first class I took was a literature class. It had nothing to do with anything I'd ever studied before, and I wasn't particularly up. I had to catch up. Just to sort of be in this class, it kind of talked my way in. And it was great because it made me start over. I didn't go on to be a literature major or anything like that. There are no majors. But it was the opportunity to just kind of start from scratch. Not from scratch. Refresh completely. And start something else. And then I went back into more of the community environmental organizing realm after that. But the fact that you can do that, you're not stuck in a particular pathway without, and you can't leave it. Some majors, you can't leave it without basically starting school over again in order to get all the requirements in for something. That's not the need at Evergreen. The downside of that is it is possible to go to Evergreen for 4 years and learn a whole bunch of things that are not useful literally anywhere, if you really want to, that are completely unconnected to each other, to anything in the real world. The exaggerated example is underwater basket weaving. That's everybody uses that one, right? You could probably get away with that, and so you can get out, but not ever doing anything interesting. But on the other hand, if you do want to do something that's interesting, there's plenty of opportunities, more so than taking required classes. So you have to think much more carefully about where you're going, what your path through Evergreen is. I, even though I do environmental things, I didn't get involved much with farm, organic farm, but if anybody's even vaguely interested in agriculture, they should. Just out there visiting enough. There was pretty good social scene on campus. I mentioned that the new dorms were just being built as I left, and a few of them were open. And my girlfriend saw Nirvana play in one of them.
Oh, wow.
In the dorms. In, like, mid-91, maybe a year before they became really big. So they probably played to an audience of 40 people crammed into a 4-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
I missed them. I was not cool enough to know who they were at the time. My girlfriend saw them. She was very excited. And then, so later when they, you know, appear on TV, she's like, I knew them. Obviously, Kurt Cobain lived around here. But that scene from Olympia, well, it feeds both back and forth between Evergreen and Olympia. So maybe I can talk about the relationship between Evergreen and Olympia.
Sure.
Would you be interested in that?
Yeah.
It's a good cross-fertilization in many ways that Olympia, the city, has changed because of Evergreen's presence. There's people like me who are former Greeners, well, always Greener, but former students who are out in the community now doing things. And it definitely brought an air of liberalism and culture and art and other things to what was just, you know, fairly ordinary small town. There's a lot of Evergreeners in state government now, hence right here. So they're often it's people who, you know, they might have been hippies in school, and then they decided either they needed a steady job or they could actually get things done by kind of infiltrating and doing something, and that became, or alternately, people who were in state government decided to go back and get a degree, and Evergreen was close, and they were, like, maybe unexpectedly imbibed the Evergreen experience, and now brought it back to state government. There is a little bit of a disconnect between Olympia and Evergreen because Evergreen's out of town a little ways. So it's really easy after you graduate not to go back out there anymore. If it was physically located right in the middle of town, that probably would be different. So you don't see the students as much until they're off campus. And after a couple of years, I started living off campus. But they definitely add a good flavor to the school. And then the music scene, for example, developed out of that. A couple of individuals who kind of formed the core of it, who came from Evergreen, and kind of built it from there. So Calvin Johnson, for example, who I happen to know for reasons entirely unrelated to music, but you know, obviously he's a star around here in a certain community. You should get his interview. My sister, the story from her, she was the editor of the newspaper, and they ran some kind of Valentine's like episode where people could write in and say, why should you be the Valentine for the CPJ for, you know, on the cover or what have you? And Calvin was going to school then. He wrote in, because I'm Calvin Johnson and I own this town. Then he won. So he's on the cover of the CPJ one time years ago, being kissed by my sister, and
wow.
There you go. It was my first brush with fame. No, that was before he was famous. So Evergreen allows you to think a lot more. It expects you to. That's what the classes are about, and it kind of doesn't let you get away with remembering things and feeding them back. And that's good for certain settings and maybe not so great for others, because you might not learn all the details of a particular craft, or I don't mean to be use the word craft as denigrating something, you know, high level, you know, professional work where you have to know a lot of technical details. You might not get that at Evergreen. You will get learning to think about things, learning to read and really read and understand, learning to write, a lot of writing going on. All those skills got me into graduate school, for example. I applied to 2 Ivy League graduate schools in public policy. One of them wrote me back and saying, what is this transcript? We don't understand. Because the Evergreen transcripts are written essays. And they said, like, what were your grades? What classes exactly do you take? And on that application form, they had one essay, like, why do you want to go here? And I did not get accepted to that one. The other one, it was five essays on different topics. One was pick a policy issue and write why we should do it. Others were about yourself. Others were about your background. There were a couple others that weren't really even about you. You just had to kind of think about things in the world. Much more interested in that, and I got into that one. And I think it was entirely because I had learned to think through things and learn to write and learn about systems. And that fit the culture of that particular school that I went to. And that was a good fit for me. And when I got there, the admission staff totally knew where Evergreen was. I went to a preview get to know us event, and you know, this is in Boston. And they're like, oh yeah, Evergreen. Like, this is the admission staff, a school 2,000 miles away. And apparently they had, at any given moment, they usually had one greener going there. And most of the students were from Ivy League schools or very exclusive private colleges. And it was a high end. There was a lot of upscale people there, maybe not rich, but the top end of the academic ladder. And me, and I fit in perfectly well. A little different than others. Probably wouldn't have gotten accepted to business school because it was the wrong attitude. Wouldn't have fit there, but was able to blend, fit right in that. And partly because at that graduate school there was a lot of debate and discussion, the seminar style of talking about things, as opposed to a lecturing style. There's always some lecturing, but not so much. Mm-hmm. And so Evergreen, in that case, took me there in a big way and helped my career. And wouldn't have helped, like I said, in other settings. People look at it like, weird, this is different, it's unusual, and different and unusual scares people sometimes. It's all right. So, and a lot of people, I think, who get out of Evergreen kind of get out and don't really know what they're going to do in their career. I didn't know I was going to do political campaign work for a while until my last internship. And I wasn't trained in political campaign work except for that internship. But the skills at Evergreen of strategizing, of messaging, go really well in that setting. And those kinds of skills work in a lot of settings where you have to think things through. So even here, this job at Department of Health, I'm not one of the scientists or the registered nurses. I don't have that specific background in something. And I wouldn't have gotten it at Evergreen. I could have maybe gone undergrad school for that or something, but that's not the normal path. Instead, I do communications and legislative work, which is all about writing and thinking through and strategizing and often translating between public health and English. That's the kind of skill I learned at Evergreen. Started out and developed over the years.
Wow.
So that's about all I got, unless you have any other specific questions. I'm running out of things to talk about.
That was great.
You can
thank
pull
you.
Out the pieces of whatever works there.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Thank you very much.
Obviously.